The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Once upon a time, there was a radio show called The Eric Metaxas Show.
It had an announcer named Todd, who was the handsomest announcer in the land. Eric was bitterly jealous of Todd's good looks.
But there was nothing he could do.
He just had to accept that cruel fate had made him as ugly as a toad.
And now your host, warts and all,
Eric Metaxas.
Wow, that's just so generous. Thank you, Todd Wilkerson, my dear, dear former friend. Folks, as you know, The Eric Metaxas Show purports to be the show about everything, which is to say, we can talk about anything I find interesting, which is most things. One thing that I'm very, very interested in, as you know, is show business, or as I like to say, show business. And one of the icons of the 20th century, one of the biggest figures in show business ever, whom I had the great privilege to meet some years ago, was Mickey Rooney. And I'm holding in my hands a definitive biography of the great Mickey Rooney. It's called The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney by Richard Lertzman and William Burns, both of whom are on the line now. Richard Lertzman and William Burns, welcome to the program.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I get very excited about talking to the biographers of the great Mickey Rooney. As I just mentioned, I had the privilege of meeting him, a true giant, not literally, but figuratively. I want to ask you, how did both of you come to work on this definitive book of the great Mickey Rooney?
I had a chance to know Mickey over the last probably 15 years of his life, and as well as Bill. And we got to know Mickey and got to hear a lot of his stories. Mickey was a great storyteller. However, a lot of the stories Mickey told weren't always true. But Mickey didn't have to create stories because his career started in 1924 as a young child and continued to 2014. So, you know, the stories he told us, you know, I always said, Mickey, you should tell the true story. We should get the true biography.
Right.
So while Mickey was alive, we started working tentatively on areas of his life and got to know him and talked to a lot of his friends. And as he passed away, Simon & Schuster came to us and asked us to write a book about him.
Well, it's a monumental work, and I think that it's funny because when you're talking about somebody like Mickey Rooney, because his career literally spanned 90 years plus, I mean, it's just bizarre to think that he was acting as a two-year-old and still acting right before his death. I mean, you'd expect the book to be 1,000 pages long, so I think it's merciful that you've cut it down to the bare bones of just over 500 pages. I don't know how you did it.
Well, because we cut out a lot of things. For example, Mickey spent the latter years of his career really doing some like desperately bad movies. I mean, he was shopping for parts. As Mickey said, that by the time he was 30 years old, I mean, you have to imagine this concept, at 30 years old, he was too old to inhabit the career that he starred in as Andy Rooney. And he was too old to be in the backyard musicals with Judy Garland. By the time he came back from World War II, in I think he came back in 1946, he was already too old for those roles. He was short, so he couldn't really play these mammoth He-Man types. And he was basically, he'd reached his expiration date, and he had to keep finding roles that for his size meant something, even though he was a phenomenal talent.
I mean, that's, you know, putting it almost mildly. He was so talented that it staggers when you watch him sometimes in some of the older movies. He has staggering energy and talent, just amazing. I guess I want to ask, how did you both come to meet him?
I met Mickey through a friend of mine. He was doing an autograph show, and I had come to this Hollywood autograph show. And Mickey inhabited these autograph shows in Hollywood where he can collect the money, and that as he collected the cash that day, he would run off to the racetrack.
Oh.
So I ran off to the racetrack with him at Hollywood Racetrack, and, you know.
What year was this? And by the way, who am I speaking with right now?
Rick Lertzman.
Okay, Rick, what year roughly were we talking about?
This is about 1994, and a friend of mine was a comedy writer and was a friend of Mickey's. So we would run off to the racetrack. Mickey would blow all of his cash and then start borrowing money from you. So he would hit these autograph shows just to get the cash to blow at the racetrack.
So he was a troubled man. I mean, that seems clear that he really had, like you hear about so many of these figures, brilliantly talented but troubled.
Well, he didn't grow up with parents. I mean, that's one of the frightening things about it. I mean, I knew Mickey through my father. My father was, after he left vaudeville, he was a talent agent in the middle 1930s to right through the 1940s.
Your father was in vaudeville?
Yeah, he was in vaudeville with my mother. They had a song and dance act, Burns and Kay. And my father was also in vaudeville all the way back in the early 20th century. And he was playing the steamship lines. And he was working for Judy Garland as one of her road managers. He was handling her wardrobe.
Your father.
He handled Fanny Bryce's wardrobe as a road manager.
Holy
then he handled God. Judy Garland's. And so he knew Mickey because from the backyard musical days with the Busby Berkeley films. So I knew Mickey from that background as well. And one of the things that they would tell me was Mickey was wild from the time he was a teenager in the 1930s right through until the day he died. He was a wild man. He had absolutely no impulse control, no self-control. If a thought entered Mickey's head from one ear before it reached the opposite ear, he was acting on it.
Oh, my gosh. It's an incredible thing because he just had such energy and such genius. I mean, you can just see it, that he was so quick and so talented. And you see this problem over and over in history. People who have it all, they're surrounded by yes men. Nobody's going to tell them no. They can do whatever they want. And they never develop the muscles to govern themselves, so to speak. And so it becomes a problem in latter years.
When you see Mickey in a movie like William Saroyan's Human Comedy, where he's playing the telegraph boy delivering news to parents, this was at the outset of World War II, he's delivering news to parents, whose Gold Star parents, whose children were killed in World War II, In this one really remarkable scene. This is the guy who played Andy Hardy. This is the guy who was singing with Judy Garland in Babes in Arms. Then you see him playing a purely dramatic role, delivering bad news. You get a sense of the range of this guy's ability.
Yeah. Well, it is an amazing thing. And then to see him reinvent himself, as you said, over and over, and not least part of that was marrying, what was it, eight times?
He married eight wives. He started off with Ava Gardner, who was one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood. Before that, he was dating Lana Turner. In fact, got her pregnant at the age of 17. He dated every one of the great starlets. He had an affair with Elizabeth Taylor when she was 14 years old.
Excuse me?
Yes.
14? Where was her father and the shotgun?
Well, in fact, when he was having the affair, Mickey's second wife, who we have all of her records, happened to open up the dressing room, and there was Mickey and Elizabeth at the age of 14. It kind of helped her divorce proceedings.
What happened was MGM had hired Liz Taylor. She was working at MGM, and Mickey and Elizabeth Taylor were working together on a film, and he was basically...
You know what? We got to leave it a cliffhanger. We're going to be right back. We're going to a hard break here. Folks, we're talking about Mickey Rooney and then some. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Michelle Malkin here. One of the biggest outrages I reported on was the trial of abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell.
Healthy woman goes into a clinic, comes out dead, and there's no police report?
I helped expose the crimes the mainstream media tried to cover up.
We had instructions not to inspect abortion clinics.
The Gosnell movie is amazing.
Kermit Gosnell is perhaps the most prolific serial killer in American history.
Bring friends and family. You do not want to pass up this unique opportunity to change hearts and minds about abortion.
Gosnell, rated PG-13, now playing.
Have you ever thought about getting out of your timeshare? Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are an unhappy timeshare owner, getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list. And with those annual maintenance fees hitting you hard in the pocketbook, you probably wish you had a way to get out of that burdensome and expensive timeshare. Thankfully, we can help. Give us a call and let us do what we've done for over 8,000 others. Our process is done legally and ethically, and best of all, quickly as possible. Lone Star Transfer is a family-owned business with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let this be your lasting legacy. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know MyPillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, right now is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium MyPillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now.
Feeling overwhelmed by the start of the new year and all those resolutions you've made? Larry Elder here. Here's an incredibly easy, good-for-you way to get the extra boost you need to power through those resolutions. Get Super Beets by Human. Human Super Beets has harnessed the power of nutrient-rich beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide. You see, nitric oxide is exactly what your body needs more of to deliver more energy. I add one tiny teaspoon of great-tasting Super Beets to a glass of water every morning, and I get a heart-healthy boost without the need of a quick caffeine kick or sugar high. Super Beets gives me the energy I need to feel like I can conquer the world and all my resolutions. Right now, you can try Super Beets risk-free for 90 days. Get the result you want or get your money back minus return shipping. Call 800-996-3406 right now or go to elderbeets.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets and free shipping with your very first purchase. 800-996-3406 right now or go to elderbeets.com for this risk-free offer. 800-996-3406, elderbeets.com.
Eric from Texas Show. We're talking about Mickey Rooney. I'm talking to the authors, plural, of a magisterial biography, The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney. I'm speaking with Rick Lertzman and William Burns. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's, you know, it's a measure of Mickey Rooney's lack of discipline that he would do this with Elizabeth Taylor when she's 14 years old. It's a staggering thing to be that how can I put it, to really have the ability to do anything you want. It's almost a kind of a curse.
In a way it is, because on one hand, you don't, I mean, think about an actor like George Clooney, who's very recognizable as a leading man. He can play roles as disparate as the prisoner lawyer in O Brother, Where Art Thou? And the lawyer in The Descendants, but he's still playing the same kind of character. Mickey was trapped because he had a very broad range, and yet he was always being pigeonholed into a role that he had to manipulate in order to express himself through that role. So that was one of the problems. As a child actor in Boys Town, in Young Tom Edison, in the Andy Hardy movies and the Backyard Musicals, he was typecast. And think how tough it must have been for him by the time he was in his late 30s, going into his 40s, to play those same kinds of roles. It was impossible.
So what did he do, roughly speaking, at the end of World War II? That part of his career is over. And most of us, when we think of Mickey Rooney, we think of that part of his career, playing with Judy Garland in the Andy Hardy movies and that kind of thing. He comes back, and I next think of him playing the Chinaman in Breakfast at Tiffany's. I mean,
Mr. Inuyoshi. Yeah, Mr. Inuyoshi.
I'm sorry, the Japanese man.
The Japanese tenant upstairs. Sure.
But what did he do before 1960? That was 1964, I think. Between 63, 64, and 46, what was he doing during those years? Was he a director? What did he do?
He tried to reinvent himself, so MGM kind of phased him out because he was no longer a box office draw, and so they tried to phase him out. So he went into his own production company and created a lot of film noir, and a lot of really great film noir he did during the late 40s, early 50s. And then he reinvented himself. He went on television. He did a television show. He knew how to do every medium.
When you say film noir, did he star in the film noir?
Yeah, he played Killer McCoy in films like that in the late 40s through the early 50s. There was a genre of film in Los Angeles, films like DOA, films like that, which were very dark, dystopian kinds of films with these dystopian kinds of heroes. And Mickey really starred in many of those films through his own production company.
And so after that, of course, he kind of reenters the world on a certain level with the breakfast at Tiffany's. And then he does a number of things. I mean, I remember in 1979 when he was in The Black Stallion. That was extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. But he does have a kind of a funky career. And you get the impression, I haven't read the book yet, but that he has this, that he is a very troubled soul. I mean, to be married 8 times, I guess, tells you something.
Well, he was a wanderer. He really was not meant to be married. He had 8 children, and he had a really troubled life. You know, he went from his first wife, Ava Gardner, which was really rocky. In fact, their breakup included Howard Hughes, that he almost got into a fist fight with. And Howard Hughes is 6'4", and here's Mickey at 5'3". And they went at each other. And then Mickey marries Martha Vickers, who's a movie star. And she tells him, "You're washed up." And he then gets into a marriage in the late 50s with a woman named Barbara Ann Thomason. He has 4 children with her. And it's a very rough marriage. And he brings in a gentleman called Milos Milosevic, who is a kind of an outsider mafia. He had worked in the mafia, and he was brought into this country, and he became Mickey's protege. And Milos Milosevic, while Mickey was married to her, fell madly in love with Mickey's wife. And while Mickey's in the hospital,
and which wife was this?
This is wife number 5. Her name is Barbara Ann Thomason. He had 4 children with her. And while Mickey's had a nervous breakdown and tried to commit suicide over their marriage, Mickey's in the hospital. Milos Milosevic comes and murders Barbara Ann Thomason and kills himself while their children are in the house.
Oh.
So now Mickey's stuck with his 4 kids from her. He already had 3 from other marriages. And he's a lost soul. I mean, he's going through the 60s. And he's still surviving. He does television shows. He really does some great parts. He's in The Comedian by Rod Serling, Requiem for a Heavyweight. He's turning in these great performances.
Right.
And when you talk to him, he doesn't remember it. He doesn't remember that period.
Hmm. Well, he obviously had a problem with alcoholism.
He was an alcoholic. He had drug addiction. He was bipolar his whole life. So he also took lithium.
It sounds depressing. It's such a morality play. I mean, the idea of somebody who has it all and who struggles like this. I met him toward the end of his life. I guess it was 2005 or something. He was playing something in New York City. He was playing at the Irish Repertory Theater with Jan. It was Mickey Rooney on stage or something like that. And there was 100 people in the audience. And I remember thinking, why is Mickey Rooney doing this? He's very old. He was about 84 at the time, and it was kind of a retrospective they threw together of, you know, pictures with Judy Garland and his career and stuff. But it was sort of sad, and I thought, he clearly needs the money. Why would he be doing this? That's just my guess.
Oh, he was desperate for money at that point in his life because he had, for his former wives who were still alive, he was paying out alimony and child support. Well, the children were grown at that point. But he also had back taxes. He declared bankruptcy. He was on his way to getting into a conservatorship with the stepchildren from Jan's children. So Mickey was basically, at this point, he spent the latter years of his life absolutely scuffling for a buck. He was broke. Everything he made, and he was making money. I mean, this was a guy that was actually getting $25,000 for a short appearance in a film, the Night at the Museum films. He'd made money when he was on Broadway in
Sugar Babies.
Well, yeah, but Sugar Babies is a long time ago.
Sugar Babies, and then the Will Rogers Gaties. Donald Trump financed that show for Marla Maples and specifically put Mickey in that show. So he was making money, but he gambled it away, he drank it away, and it went to the IRS.
At some point, he seems to have gotten serious about Christian faith. I remember discussing that with him briefly, but I never quite got a handle on you know, how deep that was. Did you get any sense that he was a man of faith?
Jan was more of a born-again Christian. Mickey went along with it for the ride. I don't ever think he was a man of faith. We had a good chance to talk with Donald Trump, and we did a lot of interviews for the book, with who was a good friend of Mickey's. And Donald told us some incredible stories that Mickey would go on golf courses and insult billionaires. Donald would try to give him advice on how to invest his money, and Mickey just never really followed anybody's advice but Mickey's. And his business sense was absolutely bankrupt. I mean, he would think up ideas like Mickey Rooney's macaroonies, Mickey Rooney's round hot dogs, Mickey Rooney's the soft drinks for dogs. And he would invest money he made. He would be making $75,000 a week in sugar babies, and it would go out into Mickey Rooney's hot dog stand. And it would be gone in a week. We interviewed Terry Ellen Kramer, who was the producer of Sugar Babies.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, he even talked her into investing into one of these.
But Sugar Babies was like 1980. He was still, you know, himself at that point. Again, how old he was? He was in his 60s, but he was still loaded with energy
at that point. Yeah.
Right. Hang on a second. We're going to have another break. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to the authors of The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney. Stick around.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. A full Senate vote is expected next week, now that the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier voted pretty much along party lines to push President Trump's Attorney General nominee, William Barr, forward. First Lady Melania Trump traveled to Maryland to address the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America's annual Youth Leadership Forum. Her signature Be Best campaign focuses on a number of issues, including the opioid crisis. The Army developing a new, more complex fitness exam designed to make soldiers more fit and ready for combat. Commanders complaining in recent years that soldiers they get out of basic training just aren't fit enough. Hall of Fame outfielder Frank Robinson and the first black manager in Major League Baseball has passed away at the age of 83. His publicist confirming just minutes ago. On Wall Street, the Dow down 278, NASDAQ down 103, S&P down 33. For more details, srnnews.com.
G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-in Pest Free. I want to personally thank all my Plug-in Pest Free customers who have taken the time out to call, write, and who have left messages to thank me for ridding their homes and businesses of unwanted rodent and pest problems. So from me to you, I thank you. Plug-in Pest Free is the only scientifically tested and, more importantly, consumer-proven electromagnetic pest management system since 1995. Why put up with those annoying rodents and pests any longer? Plug-in Pest Free is 100% chemical-free, making it your safest bet to manage your rodent and pest problems around your family and pets. With a 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com today. Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-in Pest Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-in Pest Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-in Pest Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-in Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code RADIO20. Don't spray and regret. Plug-in and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about Mickey Rooney, show business, all kinds of fun stuff. I'm talking to the authors of The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney, an extraordinary biography of the great Mickey Rooney, Rick Lertzman and William Burns. Again, welcome to the program. I want to ask you, when I met Mickey Rooney, I was with Dick Cavett. We were in his dressing room talking to him, and it was very touching to meet him at that stage of his life because he was clearly old, clearly broke, needing a buck. In the course of the evening, he spoke about Judy Garland with such love. I just thought they must have really loved each other, probably more platonically than not. But it really seemed like he had an affection for her that was remarkable.
As teenagers at MGM, talk about exploited children. Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland at MGM in the late 30s, early 40s, were keeping the studio alive.
Right.
So the important thing about this, just from a motion picture perspective, all the studios from the latter part of the Depression on were seriously losing money. And the adult stars at Paramount, at MGM, at Warner, they just weren't bringing in the big box office audiences. And when Mickey Rooney started and the Andy Hardy, Louis Mayer thought, it's kind of a B movie. It's not going to make money. I mean, it's for kids. There were teenagers that were going to see the Andy Hardy films, like three and four times.
Yeah.
And suddenly MGM realized they discovered an entirely new demographic. When Judy Garland in 1938 sang the love song "You Made Me Love You" to to the photo of Clark Gable, audiences went berserk. So when they teamed up, Mickey and Judy, in those first musicals, again, it was an entirely new market. Those musicals, those Busby Berkeley backyard musicals, that became all the high school musicals of today.
Yeah.
To keep these kids working, what Louis Mayer did was he had them shot up with methamphetamine type drugs all during the day, and they'd put in a good 14-hour days, and at night, he would knock them out with barbiturates.
Oh, my
and
God.
And that's during their teenage years. That's what they learned.
That is unbelievable. This is not the same doctor as the Dr. Feelgood of your other book, is it?
It's
no,
a different doctor, but the same drugs.
The same drugs, the same concept. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I've never been shot up with methamphetamines. I can only imagine what this does to you over the long run. It's just got to be horrific.
Well, in Judy's case, it was long-term. And, you know, Judy was affected all her life. And I had a chance to get to meet Mickey Deans, who was Judy's last husband. And he said she had a death wish. I mean, it had really stemmed from that time at MGM where the pressure was all on her. And they just kept her losing weight to methamphetamine, also kept her vibrant and alive for films before the camera.
And didn't they pretty much force her to have an abortion?
They forced her. They forced Lana Turner, who Mickey got pregnant in 1938, to have an abortion. So the studio under Louis Mayer and Eddie Mannix and the rest of those kind of thugs that we found out, really controlled the lives, and especially the lives of these child stars.
Well, because I read a couple of places that really tore her apart for the rest of her life, that she
oh,
never...
absolutely. Yeah, she said it did. And Mickey admitted it, too. She said that it was the drugs she took as a teenager that stayed with her throughout her whole adult life. And that's why Mickey, I think it was in the 60s, he really wanted to get her picked up, taken to a place where she could be left alone, no drugs, but she died before he had the chance to do that.
And she was so young, we forget. I mean, she was not exactly an old woman at that point. She was what, in her 40s?
She was in her 40s when she died, yeah.
48 when she died.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. My gosh. So now, when we're talking about Mickey Rooney again, in his heyday, he was making tons of money for the studios, but ultimately they were using him and Judy Garland. That in the long run, they eventually cast him aside, effectively.
Yeah, they were contract players. When Mickey could no longer fit into the roles MGM wanted him to inhabit, they basically moved him aside. That's why he formed his own production company with this person, Sam Stiefel, and it was one of the first independent production companies in Hollywood. I mean, Mickey also started that whole concept as well, of the independent production company owning the movies, developing the movies he was in, and then selling off the distribution rights to the studios.
And why do you think, we've just got a couple seconds in this segment, but why do you think he was married 8 times? That's just unbelievable.
He really had a lack of commitment. He really was, he was kind of raised as a feral person. He had no moral compass. His mother was a prostitute early in his life. His father ran off, and he didn't see him for a number of years. So he had really no direction, no moral compass.
You just want to weep. You want to weep. We're going to go to another break. Folks, I'm talking to the authors of a biography, The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Hey, Albin, isn't it time that we heard about what Janice has to say about Relief Factor? We're sponsors of Relief Factor on this program. It works for me. I talk about it all the time. But let's hear from somebody else. Here's Janice.
I was skeptical at first, but because of the pain that I was having when I would substitute teach and have to climb stairs, so I have lower back, hip, and even knee pain. And after about 3 weeks, I found that I could climb stairs pain-free. But it wasn't only pain-free. I could do it step over step without holding on the railing. I'm really happy. It makes me feel like I'm young again.
I love stories like this.
That's great.
Well, look, I've talked to so many people who have had this experience. I told you that I've had this experience. ReliefFactor.com is the website for $19.95. By the way, the reason it's so popular is very cheap. You take this stuff. It's all botanicals. Within 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you. Sometimes in 3 days, you'll know, or in a day. But I'm saying give it 3 weeks. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Hey, Albin.
Hey, what?
Valentine's Day is right around the corner. How do you celebrate?
Well, for the longest time, I've been planning to procrastinate, you know, and buy old candy at the pharmacy the day after.
Planning to procrastinate? Okay. You know what tastes better than old candy?
Actually, I don't.
Sherry's Berries.
Oh,
you can
yes.
never go wrong with their signature-dipped Valentine's strawberries. They're always fresh, always tasty, and the perfect companion to a candlelit dinner, bouquet of flowers, or a night on the town.
Come to think of it, my wife does like fresh berries and chocolate.
Of course, and they always arrive fresh with 100% Sherry's Berries guarantee. Send her the Valentine's gift of her dreams at the price of your dreams, starting at just $19.99 plus shipping and handling.
That's a very good deal.
Ouch. Okay, plus if you order now, and you can make the Valentine's really special by adding a dozen red roses for just $19.99 more, shipped with your Sherry's Berries at no extra charge. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and enter my code Metaxas at checkout. That's BERRIES.com. Click on the microphone and enter code Metaxas. Order today.
When I look back, I'm amazed at how long I kept all my troubles bottled up inside. I couldn't get to sleep because it was all I could think about when my head hit the pillow. I was losing sleep, slipping into depression, withdrawing from everyone around me. I had no energy or drive. I was losing myself. I was at my lowest point when I heard about Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who helped me work through my issue. They want to give you a free week just so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My husband and I wanted to buy a new car, and we don't have very good credit rating, so the bank recommended Trinity, so we called them. And the people were very nice. They told us the best solution for our problems.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
Trinity consolidated our bills, got us a lower interest rate, and a much better monthly payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges. Reduce your interest and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
We feel much better now. Things are going pretty well. And since we've been with Trinity, our credit rating has really improved.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Ann, and we're debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I am talking to the authors of a wonderful biography of Mickey Rooney. It's Rick Lertzman and William Burns, and the book is The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney. Gentlemen, again, welcome. I got to ask you, at the end of his life, I remember when I met Mickey Rooney that he'd been married to Jan for many, many years. So she really was the woman who he finally stuck with, the eighth is a charm. I mean, they were together for what, 38 years?
35 years.
35 years. And her son, by a previous marriage, was kind of running things. And it seems to me that after I saw him, some years after, Mickey Rooney was involved in, what do they call it, an elder abuse suit or something like that. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah. Her son's name is Chris Aber. And we actually met Chris and spent a lot of time with Chris. And Chris, Jan had two children. His name was Chris and Mark. And Chris ran Mickey's career for about, he didn't run his career, but he ran his, kind of his road manager, who was with him for almost 30 years. And her other son, who had a difficulty with drugs, and he was on Geraldo, recovered from heroin, he came to Jan and he goes, you know, it's my time now to collect some money off Mickey. And Jan goes, well, you're not going to do that. And so what happened was that Mark sued to get conservatorship of Mickey, saying that Jan and Chris were physically abusing them. And Mickey, being the actor, decided this was a new career angle to go on to senior abuse.
Holy cow.
And Bill and I spent a lot of time with everybody. We spent it with all their children. And we came to the conclusion that Mickey was really not abused. Mickey, the only person who abused Mickey was Mickey. Mickey made $500,000 a month before he died, making Night at the Museum Part 3. And we talked to Sean Levy, the director of the film. And somehow, from that month that he got paid $500,000 to 1 month later when he died, he had $15,000 left in his bank account. He didn't have enough money to pay for his funeral expenses. Hollywood Forever came forward and paid for his tomb and everything else. And he was flat broke at the end of his life. How this happened, we tried to follow the money. But a lot of it had to do with the attorneys who got involved and just were clobbering him with expenses over this conservatorship. And they used Mickey to do that, and they used it through Jan's other son, Mark. So, I think highly of Jan. I think she's a real fine person. We spent a lot of time with her. She really watched over him for they were married 35 years.
It seemed to me it was very clear that he loved her, that they loved each other. I mean, that seemed really clear when I was with them, what they said on stage, other places that I had seen them together. I mean, it seemed like he did love her. And that's why he was with her all those years.
Well, he did. And towards the latter years, one of the things that he tried to do with Jan was to do a reality series called The Rooneys. And we even have some of the some of the internet videos they shot, where it was literally, and we are still trying to mount that. We're trying to find a reality production company that'll that will put it together. But one of the things about it was, you see Mickey and Jan going through the kind of the back doors of Mickey's life, and there's Mickey acting up and throwing his little tantrums, and there's Jan trying to calm him down, and there's Chris, her son, driving them around. And so, really, try to imagine a career that began in burlesque in the 1920s, and then in silent movies, all the way to an internet reality YouTube television show. That's the breadth of this guy's career.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And by the way, I know you have a quote here that no less than Laurence Olivier once dubbed Mickey Rooney, quote, the best there has ever been. I mean, for Laurence Olivier to say that tells you something.
And Spencer Tracy too. He fell on his face over Mickey. I mean, he played with Mickey in Men of Boys Town, and he was flabbergasted by the amount of talent. The only similar thing to the adult appreciation of Mickey's talent were some of the comments that were made about Jodie Foster when she was a child performer. Mm. That there were older performers who were saying they were that their breath was taken away by Jodie's ability to inhabit roles. And that's the same thing that was said about Mickey back in the 1930s.
Well, the one thing that that he was in spades that Jodie Foster is not really was very funny. I mean, the idea that a child actor could be hilarious. And who was it who said that Mickey Rooney doesn't need vitamins, vitamins need Mickey Rooney, something like that. He was so bursting with energy. I remember him doing an impression. He must have been 15 years old or something like that. An impression of Clark Gable, an impression of I can't think of his name, but he would do impressions of people. And it's just extraordinary that he had that talent.
He was such an improvisational wonder as well that when he was 2.5, 3 years old, he would go on stage with his father, Joe Yule Sr., and once he forgot a line. And instead of standing there dumbstruck in front of a live burlesque audience, he actually said, as he repeated the line, "Oh, the record must be stuck." And the audience was simply wowed. And just imagine a 2.5-year-old, 3-year-old child coming up with that.
Oh, my gosh. It is just what a story. What a life. I can't imagine. I want to see the reality, the video that you said, the internet video of him. And it's just it's unbelievable. How old was he when he died? 91?
He was 93 when he died.
93.
And he really was in good health. I mean, he had just finished a movie a week before that has not actually been released yet.
And what was that?
It was a doctor's called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and he played it with Margaret O'Brien, who she was in her first films with Mickey Rooney, and his last film was with Margaret O'Brien.
Holy cow. I did not. When we come back, we'll get a minute on that. Folks, stick around. We're talking about Mickey Rooney and show business.
Really knew about my autumn heart.
Hey, Eric!
Would you consider yourself a Valentine's Day pro?
Well, I'm still married, so I guess I'm doing something right.
Well, look, you and I know that no Valentine's Day is complete without flowers. This year, you can order like a pro with Pro Flowers. Mm. They make it easy to find the perfect bouquet at the perfect price with 7-day freshness guaranteed.
And in this cold weather, fresh flowers are not easy to come by.
That's right. They're freshly cut, carefully packaged, express delivered, so the flowers arrive in perfect condition. Let the pros at Pro Flowers handle the details and send your Valentine something you know they'll love.
I'll get on that right away.
Well, that's good, because if you hurry, you can get one dozen red roses with a free glass vase for $24.99 plus shipping and handling. So visit proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter the promo code Metaxas to choose the perfect roses at the perfect price. That's proflowers.com. Click the microphone and enter the code Metaxas. Order today. Did I mention it's proflowers.com? Click on the microphone and you got to put in the code, folks, Metaxas. That's all you do. Do it.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Scientists think they've achieved the first gene editing inside the body, altering DNA in adults to try to treat a disease. But it's too soon to know if the therapy works. Preliminary results, however, released today, suggest that two men with a rare disorder now have a corrective gene at very low levels. Doctors say tests later this year will reveal more. A full Senate vote expected next week, now that the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier voted to push President Trump's Attorney General nominee William Bill Barr forward, with acting AG Matt Whitaker now refusing to appear before a House Judiciary panel tomorrow investigating the Trump administration unless he says he is subpoenaed by Dems to do so. Hall of Fame baseball player and manager Frank Robinson passed away at the age of 83. He was the first manager to break baseball's color line when he took the helm of the Cleveland Indians back in 1975, not long after his incredible career ended. For more details, SRNNews.com.
Testing, testing, 1, 2. Can you say something into the mic?
Red leather, yellow leather, the tip of the tongue, the top of the teeth.
All right, what's this for?
It's a life insurance company. Ethos?
Oh, okay.
You know, I looked this up last night. No joke, ended up applying for life insurance.
No way.
Yeah, seriously. I didn't have life insurance and always heard it was so complicated and time-consuming, but this was easy.
Oh, nice.
It took only a few minutes to apply. You get a quote right away, pick your policy, and answer some questions, all in 10 minutes. It wound up being affordable, too. And you know what? I feel good to have finally gotten covered for my family.
Wow, what's it called again?
Ethos. But the website is Ethos Life.
Well, okay. It's in my notes. Ready to do this?
Yeah. Wait. Doesn't that red light mean we've been on the air the whole time?
Yep.
Oh, well, I said it already, but here it goes.
Get a free instant quote and submit your application within minutes at ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
Hey, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get gone, get a rhythm. When you get the blues.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Taxis Show. I'm talking about Mickey Rooney. With the authors of a new book on him, The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney, Richard Lertzman and William Burns. Again, gentlemen, welcome to the program. I have to say that what you just said before we went to the break, that his final film, which has not yet been released, or was it released?
It wasn't released yet.
And that's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, is that a retelling of the classic story, or is it kind of a different spin on it?
No, it's a retelling of the story. Brian Brasubili is the director. And Mickey worked, it was his last, he worked 1 week before he died, he worked 1 week on that film. And he was tremendous. The crew came over and just, Mickey would tell him stories about old Hollywood. And the people just sat right at his feet just to hear these great stories. And Mickey was still a storyteller right to the end.
And how old was Margaret O'Brien? Is she still living?
Margaret's living. She was about 78 at the time. And, you know, she made My Secret Garden and all these great films. But her first film was with Mickey Rooney.
And which one was that?
The first one was with Judy Garland. She played Judy Garland's sister with Mickey Rooney. I don't recall the name.
Right. Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that was the famous scene where Judy Garland sings Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas to Margaret O'Brien because they're leaving for New York. Oh, it's one of the most poignant scenes. Yeah. And there's Margaret O'Brien, who is, she's like little toady, she's crying. And as Judy is singing, I mean, it's a wonderful scene. Folks, that scene is all over YouTube. You could find that clip. And that to me is one of the most poignant clips with Judy Garland and 6-year-old Margaret O'Brien.
Now, maybe I'm confusing this with another film, Meet Me in St. Louis. Is that the one where right at the end you see the 2-year-old Liza Minnelli?
I think that was. I think Liza Minnelli was in that film because it was directed by Vincent.
Vincent Minnelli.
Yeah, her father.
It's in the 40s at some point, I guess, right?
Right.
Someplace
right.
In the 40s. But that's just, that is extraordinary. I had no idea. Do we know if that film will be released, this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or is that?
It is going to be released this year. So Mickey started his career in 1922, so it's 95 years since Mickey Rooney began. And the amazing part Eric, is that he started, he was a superstar in silent films. He made the Mickey Maguire comedies.
Yeah.
So in the mid-20s, he's making Mickey Maguire comedies. And his career lasts over television and radio and internet. And he ends up, his last major film was Night at the Museum Part 3.
And he was contracted to play in a Nikola Tesla film, which was obviously, it was never shot. He died before it could go into production. But that was the film he was really set to do after Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And in one of Mickey's very early silent films, My Pal the King, I mean, this is like six degrees of Kevin Bacon, where all these very famous stars all crossed paths with Mickey Rooney's career. He played this little kid who was a king. This was a silent film, and it was with Tom Mix. In the film was this Olympic gold medal winner, Jim Thorpe. I mean, talk about the strange paths that crossed in Mickey's career.
No, it is absolutely unbelievable. And I know he was in a film with Will Rogers. It goes on and on. We're out of time. Darn it. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's just been a joy to have the conversation.
Thank you. It was our pleasure talking about Mickey.
Folks, the book is The Life and Times of Mickey Rooney. What a story. Thanks for listening.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.